ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hey, News Daily listeners. I'm sure you've had that experience where sometimes our futures turn in an instant.
It's like the butterfly effect.
Someone we meet, a phone call, a flyer on a notice board.
We're all vulnerable.
And it's not until later that we see the signs. When four people vanish from an isolated WA town in 2007, everyone's left wondering what they missed and what they could have done differently. I'm Dominique Bayens, host of Expanse, the Nanup 4. Binge all episodes now. Search Expanse on ABC Listen and iView.
It was a video that went viral and left viewers outraged. In it, it's revealed the government receives more money from a tax on beer than from the tax on the profits of massive oil and gas projects. Today, the ABC's chief digital political correspondent, Claire Armstrong, on the growing campaign for a new gas tax. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Claire, let's start by discussing this social media video that, well, it had many, many views. Now, in it, Independent Senator David Pocock is quizzing Treasury officials about tax. So just tell me what goes on.
Yeah, so this was your usual Senate estimates. Senator David Pocock comes up against this Treasury official, and it essentially gets the Treasury official to confirm that the government makes more money from the excise on beer compared to what it collects in revenue from what's known as the petroleum resources rent tax.
Would it be accurate to say that the tax on offshore gas exports, PRT, is still giving us less revenue than the tax on beer?
Have a look. In 25-26 in my info, taxes on beer, we're expecting $2.7 billion. Taxes from PRRT, $1.5 billion, so yes.
The views that this one got for Pocock, I think about 9.3 million on Instagram alone, last time I checked.
How do we live in a country, one of the biggest gas exporters in the world, and we're getting more tax from beer than PRT?
And then this is an idea that's sort of pushed along, Claire, by former teacher Conrad Benjamin, who's founded Hunter's Politics. Now, he actually appeared before a Senate inquiry the Greens had set up into a gas tax.
Thank you, senators and members, for having me. Honestly, it's not every day that a regular punter like me gets to sit at the table with so many politicians.
So tell me what he was saying.
Yeah, so essentially this idea that, you know, the average person going to the pub is chipping in more to the government coffers than these multinational, often foreign-owned gas companies has really taken off in the public. You've got people like Pontus Politics, which is a podcast, satirist kind of commentary outfit online. And Conrad, you know, it is interesting, I think, that shows the way this debate has gone, that he was invited to appear at the 3 days of this inquiry.
Genuinely, I shouldn't be here. Pontus Politics exists because I spoke about this issue and regular Aussies went, yeah, this doesn't only pass the pub test. This is outrageous. And we've been sold out.
And essentially gets up to accuse or suggest that the government is giving away our gas, and that is not something that obviously he feels and many of his followers and readers and listeners feel is a fair deal for the taxpayer.
So the question we punters have is, how is it that we are holding all of the cards yet still losing?
And Ken Henry, the former Treasury Secretary, well, he thinks it's a fabulous idea and he's really passionate about it, isn't he?
Yeah, yes. He had a bit of a viral moment himself in the inquiry.
Just do it. In the national interest, just do it and stop the crap that the Australian public have put up with for decades now.
He essentially just said, we could be using this money in so many different ways to help so many people or to pay down the debt that obviously is about to reach $1 trillion in the federal budget. Mm. There's a lot could be done with this money and it's time to get on with it, was essentially his view.
Yeah, okay. So everyone's got a bit riled up at this point. But look, let's put it into some more context as well, Claire, because the oil and gas companies, they do pay other taxes as well, right? And state royalties.
Yeah, so the PRRT is a tax that just applies to the profits, and it specifically allows for companies to deduct their losses and expenses as well. So it only really kicks in once they're well and truly making money, which is something that, you know, opponents of it say is too weak. So representatives from the sort of broader industry groups say that for the financial year 24-25, that all of the different taxes they pay, which includes company tax, state royalties, so that goes into state government coffers rather than the feds, is about $21.9 billion. So they're trying to say that this comparison to the beer tax is not very fair. I mean, I would add to that that obviously beer companies also pay company tax, so it's still not quite getting to an apples-to-apples comparison.
Claire, the Australia Institute, that's a progressive think tank, it's one of the leading advocates for a new gas tax, a 25% gas tax. Now, its head, Richard Dennis, points out that Qatar, that exports a similar amount of gas as us, collects 5 times the amount of government revenue from its exports. And he notes that the Japanese government is actually collecting more tax from Australian gas than we are, which is like, what on earth is going on?
Yeah, so the country comparison thing is sort of the next phase of where this debate has gone. The Japan story, though, I think is where this gets really interesting because, as you said, they don't have their own gas. They're an importer of gas. They import more than they need sometimes, which means they can then profit off selling it on.
Wow.
But they also have an import tax, so everything that comes into the country, the government collects a tax from. Japan has collected almost $40 billion over the last 5 years from taxing its imports of these fossil fuels, while the PRRT over that same period has only delivered about $7 billion to Australia. Again, obviously the PRRT is not the only way that gas companies contribute taxes, but I think that the Japan example in particular is so interesting here.
Just tell me, how much money would we make from this 25% tax on these gas giants?
Yeah, so some modelling that I think the Australia Institute has done and a lot of people cite is that if you had a flat 25% tax on all exports, so that's just the flow of gas going offshore, it would raise about $17 billion and bring domestic prices down because obviously there would be more incentive to just sell gas locally. There'd be more competition to do that.
So, Claire, the other thing that advocates point to for this tax is Norway, as they have a similar sort of tax in place that is making the government masses of money, isn't it?
Yeah, so the Norwegian government imposes an effective marginal tax rate of about 78% on North Sea gas projects. Mm. And so that is making them a huge amount of money. They've got a massive sovereign wealth fund that they can use to prop up all sorts of things in the country. This idea, though, this comparison in particular, is something that has been really frustrating the business community. BCA Chief Bram Black has been out really trying to highlight that the Norway example is no good because the way their system works is so different to ours, particularly because Norway allows much more gas exploration, fast-tracked approvals, and a lot of the companies extracting this gas are state-owned.
You've got in Norway a country that is actively seeking the opportunity to develop new capacity. They see that as being good for the country, so they have a regulatory system which is specifically geared up to try and fast-track these types of approvals so that they can get more projects, so that they can ultimately derive more revenue. And I guess
the other big thing is they have loss refundability, which basically means in a year where a gas company, for example, if they went out and spent $100 million on various gas extraction projects and lost $70 million, the taxpayer would refund them that $70 million. That is not something I think that would be particularly tenable to the Australian taxpayer. So as much as there are proponents saying Norway is the case study for how to collect a lot of revenue off a flat tax, it's also becoming the example the other side of the debate are using to say, well, if you want to let a rip gas exploration an approval system where we also refund losses, then, you know, that's really what you're signing up to with that model.
There are, of course, as we mentioned, people here who think, really, this is a very risky idea to bring in a tax like this. Now, the gas companies, of course, are among them. Now, they've also appeared before this Greens-led Senate inquiry. Shell Australia Chair Cecile Wake says it would be a very ill-advised move. So what are they actually arguing?
Yeah, so the big argument is that having a tax like this risks future investment in gas. And one thing that is broadly agreed at this point across political lines is that Australia is going to need more gas for the future to back up its renewables transition. And so if you have this tax burden placed on these companies, the argument is the tax is such a disincentive to invest that you could actually scare away future gas investment.
Because if you take that additional 25% on revenue away, the WoodMac report demonstrates a 7.5% on average reduction in investment returns would render growth projects uneconomic, uninvestable. When that happens, revenues fall, tax receipts fall, jobs get lost, contracts get broken.
I understand the argument, but you won't give us the figures, so it's all it's all bluff and bluster. I've got a final question.
I categorically reject that there is any bluff or bluster.
You can reject it.
All right. Well, the opposition leader, Angus Taylor, he doesn't think this is a very good idea to bring in this sort of tax. And really neither does the Prime Minister, right, Anthony Albanese?
Look, it's a bit complicated. Angus Taylor definitely has a view that he's applying across a whole range of proposals at the moment, which is if you tax something, you get less of it. He thinks that particularly in the context of the energy crisis we're experiencing is not the way to go.
Make no mistake about it. The motive here won't be to generate revenues because there won't be any revenues. It will be to stop investment, and they want that investment to stop.
And that, I think, that context is important to where Anthony Albanese sits. He's made a really big point of saying that when Australia signs a contract, that we honour that we're a trustworthy trade partner. And I think that goes to the idea that he's not so in favour of a change that would suddenly affect contracts that already exist.
Well, look, they pay around about $22 billion. And importantly as well, one of the things I've said is that you do need to acknowledge the tens of billions of dollars of investment that occurs in order to have that gas extracted. And without that investment...
I do think he has left the door open to doing something in the future on uncontracted gas or new projects that obviously don't have deals and arrangements in place. So I think the PM's position is more of a not now at this time rather than a not ever.
So, Claire, let's consider then more deeply the politics of all of this. In Western Australia, Woodside has warned it would kill off a $30 billion project in that state. Now, that's got the Premier, Roger Cook, rather worried. He doesn't like the sound of that.
I think in Australia we've got a balance about right. We ask these companies to come in, explore, invest heavily in the early stages of their projects. Now, that might mean that compared to other countries, we've got lower royalty rates at the back end of the project. But don't forget, these companies have taken risks.
Yeah, so Woodside have argued that a 25% flat tax would effectively kill its Browse gas project off the West Australian coast. And Premier Roger Cook has said he doesn't support it because he thinks it would be particularly bad for Western Australia. And critically, he has made those views very clear to the Prime Minister, who, of course, sits in the lodge currently, in no small part thanks to the voters of Western Australia who have swung in hard behind Labor in the last two elections.
Okay. So votes are always in the mind of governments, I suppose, and the next election. But what do you think, Claire, politically and financially, would this actually be a good move for the Labor government to actually consider at least bringing in this sort of gas tax?
I think if we were not in the position we are with the current oil crisis, it would almost be a fait accompli that the government would be moving to do something on taxation of gas. In the last term, a Treasury prepared three kind of options of how to strengthen the PRRT. It was pretty broadly agreed that it wasn't very effective. Mm-hmm. The government at the time essentially chose the sort of lower, weaker of the three options. I think we are still in the realm, you know, don't quote me 3 weeks out from budget, of there potentially being a world in which the government revisits a couple of those stronger other options, because it really has grabbed hold of the public's imagination. And it would be, I think, a missed opportunity for the government not to capitalise on that in some way.
Claire Armstrong is the ABC's chief digital correspondent. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.